Welcome to the Matasquan School District's Board of Education, regular public Board of Education meeting for February 28th, 2017. Called order. Our opening statement pursuant to NJSA 10:4-10, notice that this meeting has been provided by publication in the Asbury Park Press, the Coast Star, and posted in the Borough Hall of Matasquan and the schools within the time limits prescribed by law. Please join me now for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Sandy, roll call, please.
Mrs. Bassone. Mr. Catani.
Here.
Mrs. DePalma. Mr. Fiore.
Here.
Mrs. Garamuli.
Here.
Mr. Hovater. Mr. Lofredo.
Here.
Mrs. McGarry. Mr. Pellegrino. Mr. Serino.
Here.
I'm sorry, I knew you.
That's okay.
Mr. Vitale.
Here.
Mr. Warren.
Here.
Madison Detwanger.
Here.
Carly Grogan.
Here.
Christopher Driscoll.
Here.
Mara Farragher.
Here.
We have quorum.
Thank you. Our mission statement. Matasquan School District empowers all students by providing a safe, healthy, and inclusive environment where continual growth, perseverance, and rigorous academic standards are balanced with extensive extracurricular opportunities and a rich tradition through a partnership with our community. Our statement to the public. Oftentimes, it may appear to members of our audience the Board of Education takes action with very little comment and, in many cases, by a unanimous vote. Before a matter is placed on the agenda at a public meeting, the administration has thoroughly reviewed the matter with the superintendent of schools. If the superintendent of schools is satisfied the matter is ready to be presented to the Board of Education, it is then placed on the agenda at the next committee of the whole meeting. The members of the board work with the administration and the superintendent of schools to assure that they fully understand the matter. After the committee of the whole approves the matter, it is placed on the agenda for action at a public meeting. In rare instances, matters are presented to the Board of Education for discussion at the same meeting that final action may be taken. Acceptance of minutes. We recommend acceptance and approval of the minutes of the combined committee of the whole and regular public education and closed executive session of January 31st, 2017. Executive session minutes will be withheld from disclosure until such a time as the reasons for discussing and acting on a matter in closed executive session no longer exist. Do we have a motion to approve the minutes? Mr. Fury, second. Mr. Warren, any question on the minutes? Sandy.
Mr. Catani.
Yes.
Mr. Fury.
Yes.
Mrs. Garamuli.
Yes.
Mr. Lofredo.
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino.
Yes.
Mr. Vitale.
Yes.
Mr. Warren.
Yes.
Carried.
Thank you. That brings us to our student board representative report, and we will start with Ms. Grogan.
Okay. This month, the Key Club will be involved in the Manasquan Elks Breakfast, tutoring homework helpers at the Manasquan Embry-L Elementary Schools, Big Hearts to Little Hearts at the Elks, the MES Bingo Night, and MES PTO Babysitting.
Thank you. Ms. Dettlinger?
That's it.
Thank you. Ms. Farragher?
Okay. This month, Student Council has been focusing on planning the senior trip. We have some fun things planned. We are also continuing to pick out winners for our birthday month parking spot drawing. Finally, the freshman sophomore semi-formal is March 17th and junior prom is March 24th. Planning and prepping is going well.
Thank you. Mr. Driscoll, you have anything to add?
That's it.
Thank you. Do we have a motion to accept the student board representative report? Mr. Lofredo, second. Mr. Catani, any questions? Sandy.
Mr. Catani.
Yes.
Mr. Fiore.
Yes.
Mrs. Garamuli.
Yes.
Mr. Lofredo?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Vitale?
Yes.
Mr. Warren?
Yes.
Carried.
Thank you. That takes us to our presentations, and I will gladly turn it over to Dr. Cajun.
Thank you. As you could read in the agenda, tonight we have quite a few presentations. And just to set the stage, we're going to focus on our Students of the Month, then we'll move to our Instructional Council, and then we'll celebrate the success of our high school football team this year. Then we're going to pause to have some cake. Fellas, please, can't leave tonight unless you take a piece of cake, because I don't want any left over. And then we're going to move after that, we'll take about a 5-minute recess, to hear from New Roads Construction Management presentation as we move towards our referendum. So having said that, can we move to the podium?
Sir.
Thank you. Take a minute to thank the Board of Education for their focus on the accomplishments of our students. I really think highly of the students here at Manasquan High School. And as we focus on our selected students of the month, they represent the best of the best. So I want to compliment all of those who are here this evening. The children who are selected as students of the month serve as role models for their fellow peers. They demonstrate leadership both in and outside of the classroom, and they're involved in extracurricular activities. So I'm proud to say over 88% of our student body are actively engaged in extracurricular activities. We also have ELK Student Teenagers of the Month represented, and these children are chosen as children who have accomplished in school and community, either in life or in the fine arts, and have demonstrated a sense of leadership that make them stand out, and the ELKS Monthly recognizes them. The Manasquan Board of Education would like to congratulate Manasquan High School Students of the Month, Senior Jack Miles. Jack? And our junior, Olivia Werther. Olivia? Definitely sure they're home doing homework. The Manasquan Board of Education would like to congratulate the Students of the Month representing our sophomores, Alexa Minton. Thank you very much for being here this evening. I appreciate it. Each Student of the Month will receive a certificate of appreciation as well as Wally Bucks so they can get a free lunch. And our freshmen, Charles Sarwitsky. Charles? One for four, I'll try to do better. The Manasquan Board of Education would like to congratulate our Manasquan High School Teacher of the Month, Mr. Thomas Glenn. Thomas?
Football team took all the parking spots.
Thank you for that. The Manasquan Board of Education would like to congratulate our Student of the Month from Grade 8, Luke McHugh. Luke.
Congratulations, Luke.
Thank you for being here.
You want to give a free speech or not? You good?
The Manasquan Board of Education would like to congratulate the Manasquan Elementary School ELKS Student of the Month, Grade 8, Nicholas Peoples. The Manasquan Board of Education would like to congratulate the Manasquan High School ELK Teenager of the Month in Grade 9, Danielle Lyons. The Manasquan Board of Education would like to congratulate the Teacher of the Month, the Manasquan Elementary School, Mark Green. Mark, congratulations.
Thank you.
I don't think we're going to do that yet. All right. I'd now like to present Claire Kozik and Allison Griffith, the chairs of our Instructional Council. The Instructional Council meets with me monthly to discuss ways that we can move forward to make it more profitable for the children educationally. Ladies?
Good evening. How's everybody? So last time we met, we didn't have our committees in place. So we subdivided, and we have a communication committee and then a rigor committee. I'll talk to you first about the communication committee. So our goal is to establish self-directed collaboration to enhance communication on multiple levels within the two schools. Level one being intradepartmental, level two will be interdisciplinary slash grade level, And then level three will be sending districts. We're going to try to meet once a month, once in the fall, and then once in the spring. Basically, the goal for the communication team is we want to start to have more collaboration, especially in the high school level, getting teachers from different departments to work together. So we came up with the idea of establishing pacing charts, where we hope to have each department come up with a list of activities, a list of lessons they're going to be doing or units, and then have that available to other departments so that then we can collaborate more on projects. At the elementary school, they're already doing that with their PLCs, so they're going to continue that. And then just have more communication, especially between the across the street also. Having our students possibly go over there, do projects with the lower grade levels, and then vice versa. Just open up the doors more between the two schools and the sending districts is our main goal. So that's the communication report for you.
Hi, I'm going to talk about the second subcommittee, which is instructional rigor. We have two SMART goals. The first, I can say with confidence, we've achieved so far. So SMART goal one for the rigor subcommittee was to research and compare course enrichment and credit recovery opportunities and offerings at local areas, local schools. So we did a state level comparison, comparisons of Manasquan Elementary School with local elementary schools, comparison of magnet schools and RVR compared to the offerings here at Manasquan High School. In general, what other public schools in the area are offering as compared to Manasquan. And then the four main parochial schools as compared to what Manasquan High School is offering right now in terms of credit recovery, enrichment, and course opportunities. What we found overwhelmingly is that Manasquan is performing at a similar level or in terms of the general high school population and then outperforming state graduation and curricular requirements. We have noticed that some areas do offer summer programs for enrichment and credit recovery, and that's something that we want to find out if the stakeholders here in the community of Manasquan are interested in pursuing. So that kind of question that we have as a rigor subcommittee has led us into SMART goal two. Our second SMART goal is to conduct a survey or a series of surveys to determine if there's interest among stakeholders, elementary school and high school staff, elementary school and high school families, for course ahead, summer bridge courses, or other opportunities, credit recovery, to be offered during the summer months. So what we did at our last meeting is we came together as an entire instructional council and we've started to craft these survey questions. The survey questions center around our strategic plan. So the goals that we've been touching on with the strategic plan are communication and engagement with the surveys and with a communication that's interdisciplinary and departmental. It also talks about instructional opportunities, so all students would be able to have access to instructional opportunities that meet their needs and interests. It talks about facilities, because if we are determining if there's interest for summer programs, we would be using the facilities here at the high school and potentially at the elementary school. And it also talks towards this, it speaks to the staff and faculty goal. So we anticipate that the surveys, while they're still in process, will be about five questions and they'll be available online through a website or a link, maybe a SurveyMonkey. We haven't really
done
that yet. Leaning towards a SurveyMonkey. And then we'll be having a Honeywell announcement to stakeholders to determine if there is interest in pursuing these opportunities. And that's it.
Any questions? We threw a lot at you.
The focus is going to be to utilize the summer month to have enrichment classes and or credit recovery. But we want to reach out through our strategic plan to the community and the students and find out what they feel the need is before we start to plan this. And we know that Manasquan as a community is one that is a shore, a beach community, and you guys are very engaged with either work or going to the beach during the summer. So again, we want to craft a time that would be a time that the students could make use of summer enrichment, either during the day or at night. So these are questions we need to have answered before we move forward, and I compliment you for bringing these things forward and the instructional council. I think you're doing a great job.
Thanks. Thank you.
Question for, are we sure. going to have some offerings for eighth graders coming into high school that they could do summer
yeah, programs and get credit in the high school here?
So there will be questions on the survey that is crafted towards that. I believe we kind of tentatively called it Bridge to High School.
Okay.
So that would be an area in which maybe if students felt that they needed to hone or refine some skills, they would have an opportunity to do so over the summer. But again, it's going to be based on family interest.
Okay. It's about giving children the opportunity for a leg up, so everybody's on an equal playing field when they start high school. That area. Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Frank, confusion. I'm thinking, is it a possibility for maybe eighth graders to take, besides the kids who need to level the playing field a little bit, but maybe some enrichment of you take a class in the summer and you get credit for this high school that maybe can springboard it to something else and open you up for some different classes that maybe you wouldn't be able to take as a freshman?
That actually is where we're going as well.
Perfect, okay.
So we're looking for enrichment, we're looking for bridge, we're looking for credit recovery.
Excellent.
Just to make sure that we are appealing to all kinds of learners and making sure that Manasquan is the best school in the area.
Perfect. Thank you.
And that's a great segue to talk about the referendum and to thank the community for that again. And this is going to afford us the opportunity for science labs so we can mandate that every child, right, Jesse, that when they come as freshmen to Manasquan High School, they have the opportunity to take biology. And how in 2 years can we prepare them for that? So by taking biology as freshmen, it affords you an opportunity to take 4 years of a science, or maybe possibly if the schedule goes the way we want, two extra science classes. So it's all great stuff. We're now at that time in the meeting where we're going to celebrate the accomplishments of another one of our teams. This particular team, however, had met several challenges that I will speak to after we're done with the little slide presentation that we have created. But when you talk about tradition and excellence, Manasquan football comes to your mind. But there are many people in the past that sort of set the foundation for that excellence. And with that, I'm just going to leave you to the presentation itself.
Excellence must be pursued, it must be wooed with all of one's might and every bit of effort that we have. And each day there's a new encounter, each week is a new challenge. And all of the display and all of the noise and all of the glamour and all of the color and all of the excitement and all of the rings and all of the money, these are the things that really linger only in the memory. But the spirit, the will to excel, the will to win, these are the things that endure.
You have now become a part of a select group of champions. A group of champions that set a foundation, as Vince Lombardi said, that had a spirit. A spirit not only to win, but a spirit to endure. And I stood on the sidelines and I saw you play against many different opponents. And we started a discussion early in the summer with your coach and the AD at the time about being up at a certain conference that you really didn't belong in. And the funny thing about that, it seemed like that conversation was only in my office. It wasn't in your minds. Because you went out and demonstrated that it wasn't the size of a high school, it wasn't the size of an individual that made the difference. But it was that spirit, that will to win, that your coaches had given you, that was part of the Manasquan tradition that year. It went from Doc Nine to Coach Cabo to Coach Price and where we are today. I said it at your banquet, I'm gonna say it again tonight. You gave me a season full of pride. You didn't know this, but I stood in every down and I was very proud of the things you did. Whether you won or lost, and you won 10 games and lost 2, and that was awesome. But it was the way you played that made me look at you as champions, not your record. Congratulations for that. Coach Price, if you can come up first, please.
I guess. I'd like to thank the board, Mr. President, and Dr. Cajun for giving us this opportunity, but more importantly, the opportunity to represent our school, the greatest school there is to coach and play at. I'd like to thank the families for coming out tonight, and really everybody who's made this year and every year a pretty special thing to be a part of. So thank you.
Thank you. Very much. And this year, you faced many challenges that your coach never complained about. Forget the conference. This superintendent had a brilliant idea. Let's build a side field. But you know what? Let's do it in August. But wait, don't we start football practice in August? Yeah, but you know what, coach? You could maybe go down to the Army camp and practice there. And I know, coach never complained. But I'm sure his staff did. But that's okay. And as I watched you walk down every day, you went in pairs and you started to bond. And coach turned this that could have been a negative into a positive as you built for this season. And then when Mr. Cahill came to me and he said, Frank, you're going to bring them back right before the first game. Can we bring them back sooner? And I was like, well, you know, the grass is important. We have to make sure it looks good. He said, well, it'll stay off the grass. And we said, okay, you guys came back, and you gave us a wonderful season. So the conference was against you. You take a look at the field, and as you had to go off campus to practice, for the first time in the history of Manasquan, I think, right, Coach? But now you're going to do it every year because you were so successful.
got us in shape.
And also, there are personnel changes that occur. But that never stopped you, and you just kept moving forward. And it was just an awesome season. And with that, I would like to compliment Coach Price. We have Coach Lou Serto, Brian Lee, and I'm sure we have a certificate, each one of them, right? Please come forward, coaches. Bill Burchet, Matt Boskian, Eric Howland, Daryl Forkenberg, Dave Hallian, Rich Griffith, and Andy
Who didn't come to law school?
Falkenberg, of course.
Manasquan High School varsity football team state champion. Should be in there. Oh. Jay Price Senior. Jay Price the original. Thank you. Thomas Antonucci. Ben Barrett. Cannon Birch. Riley Callahan. Dylan Danton. Jack Fabian. Daniel Fisk. Arthur Foreman. Quinn Giblin. Owen Hall. Colin
Carson Powell. Evan Hillo. Damasco James. Damasco James. Michael LaPointe. Joseph LaRosa. Matthew Lyon. Gerald Marr. Edmund Mallet. Francis Marshall. Joseph McKeever. James Mealy. Thomas Mayer. Andrew Miller. Peter Mills. Demetrius Morgan. Ryan O'Leary. Joseph Hosper. Dylan Puccetti. James Prendergast. I know we practiced that since then. We make sure we got it right. Nicholas Piero. Nicholas Platos. Thomas Powell. Brian Rogers. Andrew Scallon. Adam Schreck. Kenneth Simeon. Carmen Strigiano. Rashid Tuttle. Nicholas Vital. Anthony Weil. Timothy Zarelli. Pictures when they're at Communications High, Biotech, and Allied Health. But we're going to see who they are right now. Matthew Hannah. Kyle LeBlanc. High school state championship football team. Now if we can take a moment, fellas, and please we'll cut the cake and have some cake, and then we'll move to our next presentation. And tonight we have with us the principals from New Road Construction Management Group, Charles Romanelli, Rob Notley, and Joseph McDermott. And Chuck, are you going to present first, or?
Sure.
Okay. Marla.
Thank you.
You might have to. You good?
Hi, everybody. My name is Chuck Romanoli. I'm with New Road Construction Management. And we're here to talk to you about your project and present our firm as your construction manager for the project. I've been with New Road Construction Manager for some time now. I'm a principal partner in the business. I'm an engineer from Rutgers University College of Engineering. I started off my career at Fort Dix, Army Corps of Engineers. I spent 4 years there. And then in 1988, I started working for school districts like yourselves and building schools and renovating schools and putting additions onto schools. And I've been doing that ever since 1988. So I've got a lot of experience doing the kind of work that you're going to do here. And I'm happy to be presenting to you tonight. And I'd like to introduce Robin Otley, one of my partners. Going to talk a little bit later. And this is Joe McDermott, is also with us. And Joe and Rob and I have all worked together for several years, and we're happy to be here in front of you. We have a really good team, and I'm proud of these guys. I'm sure they'll do a very good job. This is just an organization chart where we see ourselves fitting into it. We'll be working directly with Matt Hudson on a daily basis and reporting to Ms. Coates and Dr. Cation. We've worked with Garrison Architects as well as Edwards Engineering on a number of different projects over the years. We're currently working with them now on a number of projects, so we're quite familiar with their designs, their details, their contract administration protocols, and we'll fit right in to that team very well and add a new dimension to the constructability reviews and the management of that program. We're also going to utilize the services of Tom Miller from STP. Tom and Rob and I used to have a commissioning business together. Tom is off on his own now, and we use Tom as a consultant on our projects, and he's quite good and adept at commissioning HVAC systems, so we use him on a regular basis. And as well, building evaluations as our cost estimator. We don't do that work in-house because it takes such expertise and being up on all of the details of the project and the component pricing that we hire that out as a sub consultant, so we have the most up-to-date information available to us, and we don't have to have that effort in-house. New Road Construction Management has been around since 1979. My partner Scott White started the business 35 years ago, and he's been focusing on school construction ever since. We are members of all of the different school district associations in the state. We're active in those organizations. We try to stay up to date on everything that's going on with the districts and what's important to the schools and to our clients. We are leading experts in managing NJK-12 construction. We probably do anywhere from 10 to 15 projects a year. Between the four partners, we each take 3 to 4 projects a year that we are in charge of, and then we have good people in the field that manage those projects, and each of our partners is actively engaged with those projects and with our managers on a daily basis. We're uniquely qualified, we feel, to manage the project because of our experience, because of our experience with school construction, with the construction community, as well as your design team. This is the projects that we did in 2016. There were 37 projects in 13 school districts that we were working on. Some of those are still ongoing, some of those have been completed, and some of those we've given the school district back a credit on the change orders. We actually did a negative change order at the end of the project. We're happy when we can do that, but it doesn't always work out that way. Similar projects to yours, we're just finishing up 3 projects at Mount Holly Schools, 5 projects at St. Vincent School, several projects at Burlington Township and Moorestown, Haddonfield. These are all school districts that are improving their facilities and past bond referendums, and they're doing similar things to what you're doing. Security upgrades and IT infrastructure, doors and windows, roofing, site work improvements. So we're quite familiar with the contracting community and type of work that you would like to do here. With that, I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Notley, who's going to be your
main point of contact.
Thanks, Chuck. Just by way of introduction, my name is Rob Notley. I'm a degree mechanical engineer. That didn't make me quite boring enough at cocktail parties, so I became a LEED accredited professional leadership in energy and environmental design. And to add one more capper to that, just to send everybody away from me, I also got a master's in business administration from Rutgers. So that's why I spent a lot of time working, not much time socializing. We do believe that successful projects require strong project leadership. As a project executive, that's my primary role, is to provide that leadership and to act as an advocate for this school district. We understand that we're working for the school district. We're not working for the contractor, we're not working for the design team, we're working for you folks, protecting your interests, making sure that you maximize the dollars that that you've been able to get approved by the public in this referendum. Project leadership, the five core principles that we practice every day: professional communication, effective coordination, comprehensive monitoring, complete documentation, and I believe most important, consistent, aggressive follow-up on details and issues. Those first four points are great, but if we don't follow up and make sure that everything's taken care of, then we haven't left a satisfied client. And it's very important to us to make sure that our clients are satisfied, because we're not winning these jobs on price, we're winning them on reputation. In the pre-construction portion of the project, which I'll be taking the lead on that, I won't go through all of these bullet points, but we will work with the design team on coming up with a master program schedule. We'll also put together a master budget for the remaining work on the referendum. We'll chair design meetings with Garrison and their sub-consultants, Fox Associates, Mulhern, and Orndorff and Farina, and also with Bill Edwards, the civil engineer. Chuck mentioned we'll be getting cost estimates prepared by Tony Piccioni, building evaluations. We do a detailed constructability review of the design documents. What does that mean? We're going through the drawings and making sure that there's coordination between all of those engineering disciplines that have their hands in the plans, to make sure that the architectural drawings reflect what's going on in the mechanical drawings, the plumbing drawings, the electrical, so on and so forth. We also look at those drawings from a constructability standpoint. It's one thing to have them laid out in two dimensions on a piece of paper. It's another thing to be able to envision how is this all going to come together, and how are we going to do this while the school is continuing to operate. So that's our constructability review. We'll also work with the design professionals and with the school district on coming up with alternate bid items. These are items that may not be at the core of what was promised throughout the referendum process, but there are additional items that would enhance this construction process. We do those as alternate bids, so that we're sure to be able to award a bid on bid day, and hopefully if the bids come in favorably enough that we can award some of those alternates as well. We'll also work to decide what the bid packaging is going to be. I'll get into that a little bit later. General conditions are very, very important. These are this is the front end of the 700-page construction manual, and it's the it's the contract between the owner and the general contractor. We've tailored those conditions. We've worked on this actually a lot with Garrison Architects on coming up with a lot of supplementary general conditions that protect you to make sure that the contractors can't do anything to your disadvantage. We'll also work very closely with that team during the bid and award phase. I'm going to introduce Joe McDermott, and he's going to go through our construction phase services. Jeff?
Thank you much. Introduce myself. My name is Joseph McDermott. I've worked about 15 years in Jersey K-12 schools and construction as construction manager. I am a CEFM, a Certified Educational Facilities Manager. I hold that license or that certification. I'm also a CPSI, which is a Certified Playground Safety Inspector, and that's through National Recreation and Park Association. And part of your project is the inclusion of a new playground system, and the idea is to go through, I can audit that, go through that, make sure it's installed correctly. so that your insurance company is happy. It's similar to what they do every 3 years, and I have that certification. For full-time work, I'll be your full-time off-site person. I work closely with Rob every day. We'll talk every day. I would be your point of contact between the architect, say your facilities manager, and I, and I deal with the issues that occur with the contractors. Make sure that they're following exactly what you've asked them to install, that their submittals match exactly what they're putting in. And then also, one big thing we do is pre-installation meetings. Every new contractor sub that comes on site, we'll hold a meeting with them, make sure they understand the safety, the rules of your school, if they have ID, if they've gone through the background check portion as required, and make sure they understand the schedule and where they fit in, so that they know if they come in and they have a 2 week window, that that's what they have to get done in that time period. That way everybody knows up front what's going on. So, all right, I think Rob's gonna feed up the bid packaging. So, thank you very much.
Thanks, Jim. Somewhat reflective of what was in the request for proposals for construction management, the bid packaging, and I would expect that there's going to be some back and forth between ourselves and the design professionals throughout the next few weeks if we are successful in becoming your construction manager. But the first bid package is work at the elementary school, window replacement in the 1953 section of that school. Some of the interior and exterior doors are being replaced. Door access controls would probably fit in well with that first bid package. And also there's a small amount of masonry repointing and repair of control joints at the elementary school. So we've got a picture there of some of the frayed masonry and that the courtyard in the 53 section. Bid package number two is site work at the elementary school. One major aspect of that is the resurfacing of the elementary school side parking area that's currently paved with a pervious paving system. It's proved to be a maintenance problem. It's very difficult to plow that, and from talking with Bill Edwards, the plan is to tear up that entire parking lot, put in a new drainage system, and then pave it with conventional impervious asphalt. Elementary schools, the fields are going to be slightly regraded to improve drainage. Also complete slit seating of the of those fields, and then a new playground at the bottom of that ramp, just between the bottom of the ramp and the first baseline of the baseball field in that photo. The largest bid package is bid package number three. Actually, I should just go back. Both of these bid packages, one and two, would be bid out very early this spring, so we would hit the ground running with Garrison and Edwards to make sure that those packages get out, because that work needs to get done this summer. Bid package number three, quite a bit more design work involved in this. At the elementary school, replacement of the fire alarm system, renovation of the media center that you see in the photo, a new gym divider curtain, new HVAC controls. From speaking with Matt Hudson when we were touring the building, our understanding is that Matt's preference is to go with a train tracer system. You've already got that in most areas of the school, so it's basically an upgrade of that system and an integration of any other controls with a train tracer system. New security cameras and a new voice over internet protocol phone system, which would also include new network switches. Renovations at the high school, the science labs, which are on the first floor, and one lab at the ground floor in front of the gymnasium here at the high school, opposite end of the building. Replacement of a two-story stair tower that leads to those first-floor science rooms, new HVAC controls, and I also should have put new HVAC equipment in the 1962 portion of the high school, similar to what we're doing at the elementary school, new voice over IP phone system, and also new equipment for your TV studio. We took a look in there, and it's looks like something out of the Smithsonian. That equipment has obviously served you well, and it's time to get that equipment replaced. This bid package also includes a second floor addition at the high school. It's actually an addition on top of the first floor, slightly cantilevered over those first floor science rooms. And that addition will consist of two science labs, a STEM lab for your science, technology, engineering, and mathematics program, prep rooms associated with the science labs, and then also a new stair tower and elevator. So our immediate plan of action. As Chuck said, we feel that we're pretty uniquely qualified to hit the ground running. We've worked very closely with the design professionals. We have a great familiarity and relationship with Dr. Cajun and Ms. Coates from work that we've done in the districts that they worked in previously. We would get started with a review of any of the design documents that have been prepared, chair regular design phase meetings, put together that overall program schedule, work with the school administration to determine what your priorities are and how we can schedule this work around the school calendar. You've got a unique school calendar, which is actually very favorable towards doing school construction work, because you have the winter break and the spring break that most school districts have, but you also have that week off in February, and that's a very valuable week from a construction standpoint. We can get a lot of renovation work done during those three open weeks during the school year. We would want to establish lines of communication, make sure that everybody understands what the various stakeholders are representing and what our roles and responsibilities are in pulling off this project. Get a photo survey done of the existing conditions of both buildings so that we know what's been damaged prior to any construction work starting, and then work with the design team to come up with a bid strategy and to define what the requirements for each of those bid packages are going to be. Turn it back over to
So thanks for listening to us tonight, and this is a Why Hire New Road slide. I have to tell you that I'm very pleased and proud of the team that I'm able to bring to you tonight. I've worked with these gentlemen for a long time. They're very good, and we're fortunate that they're available to be here with me tonight. I feel like the principals of our firm are very involved in the construction management portion of our expertise here. We do not leave our construction managers out on an island and say, call us if there's any problems. We're in touch with our people every day. We're hands-on, we're actively engaged. So the district is getting the benefit of having firm principals that have 20, 30 years of experience doing this work, actively engaged in their programming, supporting our construction manager that's in the field. We've run across probably every issue and problem that will come across here, so we are qualified to handle it. Hiring a construction manager doesn't mean that you'll have no problems on your project. We will have problems, we will have issues, we'll have disputes, we'll have things that may come to you for decision-making issues. But please know that you do have a team in place that's capable and experienced and will always be looking out for your best interest in managing the project with the district in mind, like it's our own, it's our own building. So we take pride in the work that we do. We've been around for 35 years because we do go the extra mile for our clients, for our projects. We do whatever we can to make them successful, to get them done on time. And we understand that you don't want your name in the paper or anything negative, and we're gonna do our best to make sure that doesn't happen. We'll get your projects open on time every fall. We're probably gonna go two falls anyway, if we're gonna open school. There'll be two openings that we'll have to go through, and we'll do whatever it takes to make that happen. We appreciate your support, and we look forward to the opportunity to work with you. Thank you.
Having said that, as we move to this, I know it's in your mind from watching the presentation, and I just want to make it perfectly clear that the HVAC controls at the elementary school will be in phase one. And my goal is to have the HVAC controls in the elementary school ready to go in September. Now, I talked to Brooks, and I know you're not privy to that information because tonight you're presenting to be approved. But we could move that up. And also, there will be weekly meetings that we have. And from the experience that Lynn and I have, and I'll speak for myself, with this particular team, this team that's in front of you, they're strong, and they give you a sense of security. They will get the job done. And that's why they're here this evening. And we will get the job done, it's a week, on time, under budget, and with 1% or less change orders.
That's the plan.
Okay. Yes?
I have a question, and nothing to do with the upcoming project, but projects in the past in another school district. What if there are issues after the project is complete? Are you the ones who are going to be responsible for going back to those companies and having them correct the issues that...
Can I speak to that?
Sure.
And then I'll let them answer.
Yeah, perfect.
Then I don't know how many years it was. The controls, at, we had a $17 million project that we did. And Greyhawk at the time, which principals I see in front of you were with Greyhawk, they were responsible as construction managers for that, as were Garrison Architects. And I think it was 2 years after the project was over. I was having a lot of problems with the temperature control in the buildings. I mean, it was a real headache for me because every day my principal would be calling me, parents would be calling me. It was either too hot or too cold, reminiscent. And we found out from Mr. McDermott finally firing three facilities managers and getting a fourth that the problem was in the temperature controls, thermostats. They hadn't put the right ones in. There were 25 that were supposed to be installed, didn't happen. It was 2 years or later. So I remember Brooks telling me that they're going to have a meeting of all the subcontractors who were involved in that, and I was in a room, and I never had to say a word. They beat them up to a point where they got them to install them at no cost to the school district. So they worked for us. I don't know if you remember that, but that's another reason why you're here this evening, because of how we can depend on you. So now, if you just wanted to answer that
question. No, I will answer your question in that, yeah, we'll stick by our clients. Many of our clients are repeat clients, so just because we have a client today doesn't mean they won't be a client tomorrow. So if the client calls us and they need help, we'll be right at your doorstep and doing whatever we can for you. We finished a project at Springfield Schools in Burlington County last fall, and the contractor, there was a dispute over something silly that he was supposed to have done and didn't do, and I took it upon myself to make sure it got done, and I was on the phone with the owners of the company, the suppliers that supplied the material that we were happy with. I was on the phone with their bonding company. I was on the phone with the school district attorney for 6 weeks and finally got it done. And tomorrow, in fact, this contractor is going back to repair what we wanted him to repair. So, yes, the contractors are responsible to give you a warranty. We ask for a 2-year warranty in the front end specs, as Rob was talking about, when we do our front-end specifications. We ask for 2 years. That way you get two seasons of heat, two seasons of cooling instead of one, which kind of doesn't work too well. They're responsible to come back on those callbacks, but we will support you.
What about structural? Is it like residential where contractors have the warranties, like a 10-year warranty on the structural integrity, or is there not that with commercial?
No, it's 2 years is a warranty. I think your architect will be responsible for things for 10 years, something like that.
Yeah, it's 10 years, and they have a structural engineer that they deal with, the Garrison Architects. They have a, if you have structural problems, that they will come out, and it's a 10-year warranty, yeah, for structural.
And we've worked with the structural engineer. His name is Kevin Warndorf Associates, and he's very good. Regular guy and knows what he's doing, and he's been with Garrison Architects, and he does all their work, so they're quite familiar with each other. We have done projects recently and in our past history constructing additions over top of existing occupied buildings. It's not a walk in the park, but we have done it, and you know, your facility is going to be no different. It's going to be a little pain, and everybody's going to have to be patient along the way, but there is it's very doable. Just if it's in the front of your building, and it's going to be obvious if there's action going on.
And being very, very transparent, Lynn has been very diligent with checking the work that they've done in other districts. And I know you've got out of the 11 that you reached out to, or 12, you've got 6 responses back.
6 or 7 responses.
And you want to just... Instead of me saying what you found out, you can...
Overwhelmingly positive. I've spoken to superintendents, business administrators, facility managers, and they say that E-Road is very responsive, their communication is great, they have the reports right on time with fiscal information in them. Many of the folks I spoke to, they've worked in numerous districts, and they've continued to work with New Road with the various districts that they've been in, so overwhelmingly positive.
We've done our due diligence.
Okay. Well, thank you for having us, and we look forward to the opportunity to serve as your construction manager to look forward to completing the project successfully.
Thank you. Any other questions, guys?
No. Thanks for coming out.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And then when we complete this project on time and on the budget, we'll have a cake.
Yes. Do you want us to stay for a reason?
We're good.
Brings us to number 9, our superintendent's report and information items. Dr. Cage.
I'd love to focus on that, but I really can't see. That's much better.
Thanks, Jess.
Thank you, Jesse. I appreciate that. Regarding my superintendent's report and information items, enrollment. Total enrollment as of we speak, 1,582. High school, 950. Elementary school, 632. Regarding attendance comparison, fire drill reports, document B, at the high school on January 5th, we had a fire drill because of a systems malfunction, but the state did count it. On January 30th, we had a round table discussion focusing on that system malfunction and other topics that were discussed. At the elementary school, on January 6th, we held a lockdown drill. On January 30th, we had a tabletop security meeting focusing on the lockdown drill and how we can do things better. Regarding the harassment, intimidation, and bullying monthly report, at the high school, we did have an incident, and through the investigation, it was found as not being harassment, intimidation, and bullying. At the elementary school, job well done, Colleen. We had no harassment, intimidation, or bullying reports. This week in the Friday packet, the Board of Education received a brochure as well as a letter to parents and a flyer regarding the random drug testing program that we're focusing on. Any questions about that as we move forward? It was a draft. I was open for suggestions. If everybody's fine with that, we'll move forward with that in March and April as we set a meeting for our 8th grade incoming parents to talk about the program. We good?
We're good.
Having said that, that concludes my superintendent's report.
We have a motion to approve Dr. Cajun's report. Mr. Catani? Second. Mr. Lofredo? Any questions? Sandy?
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Fiore?
Yes.
Mrs. Garrett Muley?
Yes.
Mr. Lofredo?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Vitale?
Yes.
Mr. Warren?
Yes.
Carried.
That brings us to our first public forum on agenda items. Time may be allocated for public comment at this meeting. Each speaker may be allowed in a limited time when recognized by the presiding officer. In the event it appears the public comment portion of this meeting may exceed 45 minutes, the presiding officer may limit each statement made by a participant to 3 to 5 minutes in duration. Individuals willing to address the board shall be recognized by the presiding officer, shall give their names, addresses, and a group, if any, that they represent. Although the board encourages public participation and reserves the right through its presiding officer to terminate remarks to and or by an individual not keeping with the conduct of a proper and efficient meeting. During the public participation portions of this meeting, the board will not respond to questions from the public involving employment, appointment, termination of employment, negotiations, terms and conditions of employment, evaluation of the performance of, promotion, or disciplining of any specific or prospective or current employee. This public forum is limited to comment on items included in this agenda, items only, please. Would anyone from the public like to be heard? Seeing no one, we'll move on to the Manasquan general items. For items 11 through 23, Does anyone need anything separated out, 11 through 23? That's the Manasquan items. Seeing no one, do we have a motion for 11 through 23? Mr. Catani, do we have a second? Mrs. Buehler, any questions on any of these items? Sandy.
Mr. Catani.
Yes.
Mrs. Scarabelli.
Yes.
Mr. Lopretta.
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino.
Yes.
Mr. Warren.
Yes.
Carried.
And for the Manasquan Sandy District items, numbers 24 through 33, would anyone need anything separated out in those items? Seeing no one, do we have a motion for items 24 through 33? Mr. Fury, second. Mr. Vitale, any questions? Mr. Fury?
Based on the input we had last week from legal, did we start the process for notifying people that...
It's a great question.
I think there's 60. 60
Rice notice.
60
and
Rice
notice. Using that kind of blast email.
Yeah. Okay. And thank I had you. The association in. I let them know. I showed them the statement. We sent it out. Our human resources director did a great job with sending out a explanation to the entire staff before we did that. And so, you know, I followed your advice. So we did it incrementally. So there was no white water at all with it. And
great.
It was received well.
Terrific.
Did you see that, Ted?
I did.
Okay. I just remember that. Okay. Any other discussion? Sin.
Mr. Catani.
Yes.
Mr. Fiore.
Yes.
Mrs. Garrett Muley.
Yes.
Mr. Lopretta.
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino.
Yes.
Mr. Vitale.
Yes.
Mr. Warren.
Yes.
Carrie.
Thank you. We are now to old and new business. Does anyone have any old business that they would like to discuss? Mrs. Muley.
Did you look into any of that financing stuff that person had sent over that I sent over to you to talk to? Was it something that would be beneficial to us, that grouping?
It is not yet determined if it's going to be beneficial.
Okay.
I spoke with Mr. Doug Becker, as did Phoenix Advisors, and they've asked him to send over the list of whatever fees would be incorporated in if the financing went through the Monmouth County Improvement Authority.
Could we just take one step back, because the
yes.
whole board doesn't know what you're referring to?
We discussed it at one of the
meetings. No, I just want Linda to explain to everybody.
No, I know at the board for the most part.
Well, I don't know if everyone was here.
Oh, okay.
Or the public, for that matter.
Okay.
Monmouth County Improvement Authority can work with districts and actually bond for the district in cooperation with other districts. So, for example, Hazlitt had recently passed a referendum. If they did not sell their bonds yet, MCIA can work with Hazlitt and Manasquan to sell the bonds together, possibly because they have AAA rating, at a lower fee to us. So we're investigating whether or not that will be beneficial to us. We actually do have a very good rating. It's not a AAA, but we have a good rating. And they're looking into comparing the fees and doing a cost analysis right now for the selling of the bonds to see if it would be beneficial. So we're not quite there yet. I know Mr. Backer was out of the office for a little bit. I think that that's why we don't have the analysis yet, but it is being worked on.
Any other old or new business? That brings us to our second public forum on any items, agenda, or otherwise. Would anybody from the public like to be heard? Yes, Mr. Schreck.
Hope should eat cake. Hi, I'm Kara Schreck. Of course, I wrote things down because otherwise I'll just babble. You all know me and I talk.
Just say that you live on North Main Street.
I live on North Main
Thank
Street
you.
In Manasquan. This wasn't why I initially wanted to come up, but since I was here and I listened to the instructional council that the teachers were talking about, that I think that was Ms. Griffith discussed, the bridge program that was being suggested. I'm a school teacher also. I'm a school teacher in another district, and we did a bridge program that I think was pretty successful to try to enhance AP classes. So it was not just a bridge program for, you know, adjusting to the high school, but also kids who maybe aren't ready to take AP, but think they want to try, and maybe, so that's just another thing to put in your little ideas. I think what they said was they had a lot of nice ideas. All right, so my concern that's at hand, this was my, first of all, this was my last back to school night for Adam, so it's a little, you know, going to classes. And I have to preface by saying that the classes that he's taken, I am incredibly impressed with the programs. The academic programs, he's taking the Health Careers Academy, and he just found out that he's going to be able to graduate and get the rope and all that, and I was like, oh my god, get a rope. This is my dyslexic kid who, you know, has been struggling for a long time. You know, good kid, really smart, but it's been tough. Anyway, I'm very impressed with that, and I just wanted to give you some kudos to those programs and how I was really excited for all the things that he's going to be doing this year. All right. However, the rooms that they are in, this is an old school. When I first brought Adam here, the only school he had ever seen was the school I teach in, and he was like, "These are the classrooms." He was very deflated by how tiny they were. I said, "Don't worry, they'll keep the classes small. It'll be fine." However, at least three of his classes this year have 28, 29, 30 kids in them. And I don't know that this is common knowledge. And I don't know that it is something that, I do know that it's something that needs to be discussed. And when the master schedule is being put together right now, and it's time to talk about what these should cap out at. I mean, close proximity leads to distraction, cheating, class management issues. It can be alleviated with small class sizes. There's students, there's studies that have been done that have proven that small class sizes do make a difference. Just because a class is an elective or a science, or not a science class, because I am assuming that you keep your science classes very small. He didn't have any this year, so I didn't really see it. That, you know, usually that's a safety concern, so you keep them, you know, numbers low. But it doesn't warrant that the numbers should be above like 24 in these tiny classrooms. And that's a lot. 24 is a lot. And my kid's big kid, who has an IEP, so he gets put up front. And, you know, hopefully they put him over to the side, because that would be a big blocking. You know, so it's a tiny room. A lot of them are tiny rooms. I know Nemanasquan takes pride in their school and their programs, but I think this is a problem. We don't want students leaving our district. We want them staying. Class size has to facilitate the best learning and safety needs to be, and it needs to be a number one concern when you're looking at scheduling. If this means hiring a new teacher or two, or you know, it should be of the utmost importance and a priority for making our school better. These are the kinds of things that lead to losing students to smaller schools that boast a low teacher to student ratio. And we know that those schools are there, and we know that we're losing kids to that. We're watching our numbers change. With all the college programs, AP classes, and such we have invested in recently, we should also concern with keeping our class sizes low, not just worrying about adding new classrooms, because those new classrooms are going to be the excuse. I don't want them to be the excuse. I want them to be, you know, yay, we have these great new rooms, but the other rooms need to be kept at a small number.
Great.
If I may.
Sure.
I agree with you 1,000%. Not 100%, 1,000%.
I get it.
And everything that you said is correct.
And I know we're small.
No, there are no excuses. I'm not going to give you an excuse. I'm going to give you reality. I have looked at the course selection sheets for the last 2 years. I've looked at the schedule. I've taken, and being in education, the name Elliot Mirrenbloom is going to be somebody you know is the guru of scheduling in the East, on the East Coast. We've had him here 3 times. We've had him here to look at our course selections. We had him look at our totals. We've had him look at our class sizes. And it's not the size of the building, nor it is our teaching staff, that causes the size of the classes. It's offering that class during that block that causes that. And we're focusing on that because I think, personally, if we have a class of 28, 30, offer it twice,
So you don't have that, and you can split those numbers. We don't have an even distribution of our children amongst the staff that we have. I don't need more staff. I don't need more rooms. I need to schedule more efficiently. And Sean knows that, Rick knows that. I think they have an excellent schedule. I think 77 minutes, having the block structure, affords children opportunity for hands-on instruction. I think our teachers are wonderful. They get the job done. I believe 99% of them are excellent. We have to pay close attention to how we set up those English ones or algebra ones that cause for a lot of students to be placed in there and have them several times during the course of that schedule so we can spread them out.
I have to say the classes that I've noticed, most of them have been electives, but one the one English class you said also was really big. I also known that the block, the way that the block is set, you know, the semester block.
Yes. You know, I hear you.
It's also not conducive to allowing for that, especially if you're going to be adding new APs and all this, you know, which, yay you, but that's also, oh goodness, you know,
and
what's
Elliot,
that doing?
Elliot gave us a plan. They're looking at it. But I give my administrators ownership, and I want them to come up with ideas because then I think they could be more creative. But we are addressing exactly what you said, and I want to thank you for coming to the microphone tonight because you raised a challenge that I've been looking at for 2 years, and I know it's there.
It's like, there.
And we're going to meet it. We're going to meet the challenge.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else like to be heard? Seeing no one, that brings us to our executive session. Whereas the Senator Byron M. Barrow and Public Meetings Act, NJSA 10:4-6, the Act provides the Massachusetts Board of Education to hold an executive session from which the public is excluded to discuss matters that are confidential or one of the 9 subject matters listed in Section 12B of the Act. And whereas it is recommended by the Superintendent, the Massachusetts Board of Education go into executive session on this date in Massachusetts, New Jersey, to discuss matters that are permissible for discussion in executive session. And whereas the length of the executive session is estimated to be 30 minutes, after which the public meeting of the board shall reconvene and proceed with business. Whereas the board hereby declares its discussion of the following subject will be made public at a time when the public's interest in disclosure is greater than any privacy or governmental interest being protected from disclosure. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Massachusetts Board of Education, the board shall go into executive session to discuss the following items. Number 4, collective bargaining in relation to an MEA sidebar agreement. Number 7, litigation or contract matters or attorney-client privilege, which is a contract matter in relation to the construction management service. And number 8, personnel matters, which include leaves of absence, hiring, and resignation. Items discussed in executive session will result in board action this evening when the board reconvenes to public session. Do we have a motion for executive session? Mr. Vitale, do we have a second? Mr. Warren, all those in favor? We have a motion to reconvene. Mr. Lofredo. Second. Mr. Hove. Warren. You're sitting at the Hovers. All those in favor?
You guys are out of here.
He's like, sorry, no eye contact. I don't know your name. I'm just looking at your. That's why we have those names. Mm-hmm. Because Dell can't remember their names.
Manasquan items, is everybody okay putting 37 and 38 together? Mm-hmm. Okay, we have a motion for numbers 37 and 38. Mrs. Garrett Muley. Second, Mr. Catani. Any questions? Sandy.
Mr. Catani.
Yes.
Mrs. Garrett Muley.
Yes.
Mr. Lofredo.
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino.
Yes.
Mr. Warren.
Yes.
Gary.
Senate District items number 39 and 40. Do we have a motion for 39 and 40? Mr. Vitale, second. Mr. Fury, any questions on 39 or 40? Sandy.
Mr. Catani.
Yes.
Mr. Fury.
Yes.
Mrs. Garrett Muley.
Yes.
Mr. Lofredo.
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino.
Yes.
Mr. Vitale.
Yes.
Mr. Warren.
Yes.
Gary.
Do we have a motion to adjourn? Mr. Lofredo, second. Mr. Warren. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.